The U.S. takes big new steps to address the coronavirus pandemic.
To keep new cases from entering our shores, we will be suspending all travel from Europe to the United States for the next 30 days.
We'll explain what's happening and take you to Europe for reaction. Plus, how markets are responding to President Trump's latest moves. It's Thursday, March 12th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is What's News. In a national address from the Oval Office on the coronavirus pandemic, President Trump announced a 30-day ban on some travel from Europe to the United States. It does not include U.S. citizens, green card holders, or their spouses and children. The ban does not apply to the United Kingdom. The president also spoke about the economic impact of coronavirus just hours after the Dow ended its 11-year bull run.
This is not a financial crisis. This is just a temporary moment of time that we will overcome together as a nation and as a world.
He said he was immediately ordering the IRS to push back the April 15th tax payment deadline for certain individuals and businesses. He's also offering low-interest loans to small businesses. And he pushed Congress to approve an immediate payroll tax cut. It was only the second time President Trump delivered this kind of primetime address. Our Rebecca Ballhaus reports from Washington.
Taken together, these announcements from the president tonight indicate that he is starting to, at least on a personal level, take this virus much more seriously. In the past couple of days and weeks, we've been seeing him sort of downplay the virus publicly, comparing it to the flu, saying that the risk remains low. He stressed again on Wednesday evening that the risk to Americans remains low, but the gravity of the actions that he's taking, including this nearly unprecedented ban on travel from Europe, indicate that he is recognizing what a problem this could pose for the U.S.
We'll talk with some of our reporters in Europe for more on this in a moment, and we'll also have more on how markets are reacting. In other developments, the NBA season is now suspended after Utah Jazz star Rudy Gobert tested positive for the virus. His team was moments away from playing the Oklahoma City Thunder when players were cleared from the court. Several minutes later, confused fans heard this from the stadium announcer.
For the long,
the game tonight has been postponed. You are all safe. And take your time in leaving the arena tonight and do so in an orderly fashion. Thank you for coming out tonight.
Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban reacted.
This is something out of a movie, and you just don't expect it to happen in real life, but that's the randomness of the world we live in. And so it's stunning, but we are where we are, and we have to be smart in how we respond.
The suspension came hours after the NCAA said games during March Madness would be played without spectators. And elsewhere, Tom Hanks announced on Twitter that he and his wife, Rita Wilson, have tested positive for the coronavirus. The Oscar-winning actor said they felt ill while in Australia. Coming up after the break, we'll check in on how European countries are reacting to the Trump administration's travel ban and dealing with the coronavirus. Let's turn now to our reporters who are covering the story from the center of the Trump administration ban on travel from Europe. Joining me are Boyan Panchevsky in Berlin and Noemi Bisserb in Paris. What can you both tell us about how your respective countries are reacting to Trump's announcement, keeping in mind it happened overnight your time?
In Germany, obviously, it was well reported in the media. And I think it's quite difficult here because there is a general animosity towards the Trump administration, especially in the mainstream media. So there is a bit of a sense that this is a sort of an exaggeration. It's not really clear. There hasn't been obviously a direct reaction from policymakers. No one has commented officially from Ms. Merkel's government yet. I think obviously there is a bit of a lack of trust now, essentially, and I think they are seeing this as somewhat exaggerated.
And Noemi, what about in France?
I think that people are still digesting the news, and the reality is that most people in France here are canceling their vacation plans, and no one really wants to be going through airports unless they have to.
Okay, let's turn to policies in Germany and France. We're now seeing countries turning their efforts toward slowing transmission rates. Boyan, let's start with you. We heard from German Chancellor Angela Merkel yesterday, who said as many as two-thirds of Germans may eventually get sick.
Yes, exactly. She said that yesterday at a press conference. It was quite a bombshell to drop to Germans because they, obviously, experts have been saying that for quite a while now. People, you know, were told initially that this is just like the flu, and they were told that they will not be affected necessarily and they shouldn't panic, and they took that for granted. So it's a very interesting situation whereby we have a very, very gradual unrolling of measures. For example, Germany has 16 states, but only some of them have introduced bans on gatherings larger than 1,000 people. Now, this figure itself is quite arbitrary, epidemiologists will say, because, you know, you can have transmission at a gathering of 100 people or even 30 people in a bar.
And in Germany, the number of cases is now above 1,000. Noemi, in France, we're seeing the cancellation of large gatherings, but protests are allowed to continue against a pension overhaul. What can you tell us about the response to coronavirus where you are?
Yeah, so France has on Sunday banned gathering of more than 1,000 people, but they have said that they would make exceptions for events deemed useful to the life of a nation. So that includes protests. It also includes a gathering last night of several thousand fans outside the of Paris Saint-Germain fans outside the Parc des Princes, where their team was playing behind closed doors. But the main idea is to allow protesters to continue to express their opposition to the pension overhaul. I think that politically it would have been unacceptable for the government to ban protests at a time when the government is trying to push through this very unpopular pension overhaul, which is going to introduce dramatic changes in the way the pension system works in the country.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Boyan Penchevsky joining us from Berlin and reporter Noemi Biserb joining us from Paris. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The coronavirus threat is especially serious in Italy, where cases and deaths have multiplied. Our Margherita Stancati reports from Rome on new efforts the country is taking.
What happened last night is that the government has further tightened these restrictions, saying that all retail outlets, with very few exceptions, will have to shut down as of this morning. So as of today, most stores in the country are shut, as are bars and restaurants. The exceptions are places like the pharmacies, supermarkets, and other stores considered essential for daily life, such as hardware stores, newsstands, and so on. We are now waiting to see whether these measures will work, but we won't know for another couple of weeks. But the goal of these measures is to really contain the spread of the disease, because the figures we have seen so far are very troubling. We now have over 12,000 people who have tested positive to the virus in Italy, and over 800 of them have now died. So the government's message over and over again is to stay home, because that's the only weapon the country really has to contain the epidemic and not overload the healthcare system, which is already struggling in the areas that are worse affected by the epidemic in the north.
Margherita Stancati reporting from Rome. In just a moment, we'll have more on how global markets are reacting. A global sell-off in stocks is deepening after President Trump announced a ban on some travel from Europe into the United States. Joining me now is markets reporter Avantika Chilkati. Avantika, a lot of news coming out of the U.S. yesterday. How are global markets reacting today?
Global stocks are broadly down. It's a phenomenon we've seen over the last few weeks where it's not just travel and leisure stocks that are hit. It's not just consumer spending. It's actually things like banks, things that would be affected by an economic slowdown. Lenders in particular are really hurt by a sharp economic slowdown if they get more bad loans, and low interest rates make it harder for them to turn a profit as well.
Okay, and it's been a pretty turbulent week so far. What can we expect going forward, as much as we can predict the markets these days, as we're still in the midst of the coronavirus outbreak?
So the name of the game at the moment has just been volatility. It's something we haven't seen in a while, but markets have just been seesawing. The things that people are watching include things like the spread of the contagion, new cases, fatality rates. But also now, given the oil price slump, people are really watching to see the sort of agreements we get out of oil producers. And on a day-to-day basis, you can expect stocks to be plummeting one day and ticking up a little bit next. But investors are really keen to make sure we don't interpret one good day as the beginning of a rally.
Wall Street Journal markets reporter Avantika Chilkati, thank you so much.
Thanks very much for having me.
There are many developments in the coronavirus pandemic, and there will certainly be more. We'll have complete coverage on WSJ.com. And that's what's news for this Thursday morning. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.